Welcome back to the 10-Minute Producer. I'm Mark Margulies of Ben Maher Radio, and I'm in studio with Vaughn Kaufman. And Vaughn, good afternoon, and welcome back.
Hi, Mark.
A lot of good things happening with the podcast response so far, and we're set to move into the next phase, which we're going to talk about, and there is no man on the planet who is better than addressing EQ as your friend than Vaughn Kaufman. Good afternoon, Vaughn.
EQ is your friend, the great equalizer. Yeah, I love EQ. There's so many ways to use it. It's unbelievable.
That's no lie.
But what most people don't understand is a little... You know what I think is interesting is especially when people, you know, light up their DAWs and they get these brand new plugins, and everybody's looking for the perfect plugin, you know, that it's got to do this and it's got to do that and it's got to make me sound like I got, you know, I've got a mouth the size of that tornado down in the Gulf. No, it doesn't work that way. Less is more on everything. Reverb, echo, flange, everything. Less is more. On EQ, it goes even weirder. I have friends of mine that do negative EQ. I do positive EQ, but I have friends of mine that do negative EQ. Negative EQ basically means you start eliminating frequencies to get the sound you want.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the positive side is, you know, kicking things up. But it's quite interesting. And, you know, when you get right down to it, EQ is kind of, it's your friend for everything creative. Whether it be... your own voice, you know, which you EQ that, and then in a DAW, you can set up a template so your EQ is always the same on the track that you particularly as the producer or voiceover guy do, and then the next track down you can have your guest on it, and EQ him or her that way. And then after that, you've got all kinds of possibilities as well.
So I have my first question all queued up, ready to go, as we're going to address. But I want to address something on and piggyback on something you just talked about. And that is when you EQ, and you've just brought up a wonderful, wonderful opening to the topic, in the sense that there are so many things you can or don't have to EQ. But in this case, when you EQ, are you doing it as a producer as you're recording and as you're doing your work, or are you doing it in post-production?
Okay, that's interesting. I also make my living as a voiceover artist. And so most of the production companies and production houses and agencies that you do stuff with, they want a flat signal, no juice to it, no nothing. You know, when you're producing inside of a radio station, you're pumping everything you can to make that thing cut and do everything you want it to do. Well, that's what they do in post. So I would say you go in flat and then go from there. But with that being said, you know, I mean, 99% of anybody who's ever been in radio has heard of a Symmetrix 528E. That's got your low, mid, and high range. You've got, what's the other one I have? It's... So I've got an Aphex 230 that has EQs on it as well as Big Bottom and all the rest of that stuff. So those are the hard ones that you have in the rack. And most radio stations have some sort of rack power. And so they tend to EQ going in. Well, the problem with EQing going in, it's kind of like anything else with headroom. You kind of limit yourself to how much you can play. But if you go into your recording session with a flat microphone, flat EQ, then there's all kinds of places you can go, and you're pretty much not limited.
All right, that's a good start to the discussion. I want to move on to what I have written down as the first question to you, but certainly we're a little deeper into it now. But let's start simple. I mean, and that's what we're all about here at the 10-Minute Producer. We talk about simple solutions for people who don't have the million-dollar production studios and facilities, or don't have access to greater production facilities than what the station bought 25 or 30 years ago. So let's start with a simple EQ and how you get the most out of your voice. Where does somebody begin who's, again, you know, medium market, small medium market, where do you start when you start EQing your own voice?
Well, it's really funny is I use a graphic EQ. Actually, it's kind of a paragraphic. And the interesting part about it is you know, your graphic EQ, you pick a frequency, go up and down, but a paragraphic EQ, it also gives you Q and gain. So also gives you your frequency, your gain, and it gives you the Q, which allows you to space that frequency out just a little bit. So it's kind of a paragraphic versus a parametric EQ, which rolls up the frequencies and rolls down the frequencies. So to make it easy, it's really simple. The voice, the human voice lives in really about 1.9K to 2.2K is where you're going to get your a lot of your, you know, the meat of your voice. The bottom end, now you're at 100K or 100 hertz. And then your S's, you know, everyone says, oh, what, I need a de-esser. Well, not really. If you, and we talked about this last time, was, you know, the most important 6 inches in your studio is the distance from your microphone. And if you happen to have it the right way, where you're not slamming your S's into your microphone, then you can cut them down simply by using your EQ. And then, of course, you've got a little bit of air on the other side of it. I roll air on my voice at about 14.4K. And just roll a little bit, and then I roll a little bit around 9.6K, 8.1 I use to, again, bring a little clarity. But if necessary, I'll be right around that area. If I need to go attack an S, okay, I'll go there, and I'll automate that EQ to attack that S and bring that 8.1K down. And therefore, it softens the S. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does to me. You might want to bring it down just a little bit to somebody who's not really done a lot of EQing in their world.
Okay, so EQ, start at the bottom and work your way up. If whatever you do at the, I'm going to give you the best rule of thumb. Whatever you do at the bottom of the scale, you have to do at the top of the scale. So if you're going to add bass or balls to your voice, then you need to, you're sitting at about 100 hertz, and you want to raise that up. That's going to get you a little more meat. And then if you do that, then up towards the top at about 10K, you want to raise that a little bit as well. Because again, if you run too much low end, you lose your high end. So if you bring your low end up, you got to bring your high end up a little bit. So it's kind of like shining the front of the shoe and the back of the shoe. Now, with that being said, one of the other things that people mistake and they don't do is you've heard of a high pass filter, right?
Of course.
Or a low cut. High pass means everything above a certain frequency keeps going. But they cut everything below it. Or a low cut means at that frequency and below, they're cutting the frequency out. Well, I cut everything at 60 hertz down because otherwise you have that real tubby, annoying tub, like you're in a bathtub. Not reverb, but just tubby sound versus, and there's a big difference between a tubby sound and a sound that's, you know, full-bodied, if that makes any sense. So yeah, I would say cut anything below 60 out, get rid of it, and then start working at 100 and work your way up from there. And you may find, but your frequency for your voice, your main frequency lives around 19 to 21, 22, or 1.9 to 2.2 kilohertz. And that's where you would add or subtract accordingly, depending on what your mic's all about.
All right. Excellent. That's a good place. I think that's a good place for us to start. And yeah, we can always expand on this in another segment if we want to get a little bit deeper into the nuances.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, that's a great place to start. So now let's move on to the next question, which is, okay, so now you're being asked to create, say, a character voice. Mm-hmm. And you're the only one that's available. You don't have a secretary. You don't have your morning guy or whatever who happens to be available. It's you. And you've got to create some sort of a dissonance between your voice and your character voice, whatever you decide to do. If it's going to be an accent, if it's going to be an old guy, if it's going to be however you decide that character is going to be, you have to be able to create some separation. So, Vaughn, how do we use EQ to create that separation without having to be Mel Blanc?
Okay, well, yeah, you can. Well, first off, if you're gonna play around with your voice, you're gonna vary your voice anyway. So that's the first part. You know, you don't want to sound like the same guy unless you're doing a think back piece. And should I explain think back right now? Because that really goes right to it.
Just real quick, two sentences. Yeah, really just two sentences on that. I think
back. I wonder, and my brain tells me something different. So you want to hear the I wonder part, and then you want to hear the brain telling them something different. Well, the brain telling them something different is kind of a hard filter. They call it a hard filter because you're ripping out all the bottom end on it. You're rolling all on the upper end of it. So it's kind of that, that operator telephone kind of voice, that inner inside your head voice. That's what a think pass. So you would say, boy, do I really want a can of soup? Well, yeah, I really want a can of soup. But you would take that, yeah, I really want a can of soup, and you would take all the lows out of it, add a little bit of reverb, and put your EQ in there, pump your highs on your EQ, and now you got it sounding like your inner voice. So that's a good way to do it. And then anything else is just play around with the EQ. You might find that that with whatever you're putting on may need bigger low end, it may need higher upper end and lower low end or no low end. So, that's how you play around with the EQ.
Back in the day when we weren't able to use highly sophisticated electronic equipment, back in the Mesozoic age when I was a production director,
yeah.
To get a phone sound, you would just crank out the bottom end and crank up the upper end. And it had that tinny,
right,
awful, the mm-hmm. the Lily, yeah, Tomlin operator.
Can I help?
Oh yeah,
and it was just awful on the ear, but it worked in the context of the spot. So let me lead into our last question for this segment, and that is taking that into account for a moment. How can we make EQ make sound effects more effective? Now, given the fact that we do have the electronics today that help out, but by eliminating bass and treble, giving a bigger sound to a room, let's talk a little bit about how we can use EQ to give a bigger, more effective feeling to your sound effects.
Okay, so I'm going to give it to you in two words. Notch filter. Basically, what you want to do is your voice, okay, we talked about earlier how your voice lives at about 2.1, okay? Find, most DAWs now have spectrum analyzers, so you can actually look at it and see where your voice is living and find the frequency and do that. But we'll get into that another day. So what you do is you, on all the rest of the tracks, including your music, your sound effects, you open up your EQ on each one of those tracks, and you drop the at 2.1K, you drop it down about 6 or 8 dB on each one of those sound effects tracks and your music track. And what happens when you do that, when you drop it down, that allows you to turn the volume up on your sound effects or music library. So now you're not burying the voice, you're notching out a place for the voice to sit in. It's an old movie trailer trick they used to do back in the 80s. And of course, it went on from there and got more sophisticated. But basically, what you do is you drop down a notch to sit your voice in, and then you turn everything up, and then all of a sudden you got stuff coming out of the speakers, and you can still hear the VO.
And that's really, really important, because the VO is going to be what's selling. The sound effects and the music beds, right, and those are all helpers in the sense, and we'll get into another segment where we talk about using effects, using your voice, and using all kinds of different ideas to reorient the listener to listen to your spot, as opposed to just what radio loves to do, which is just drone on for 30 or 60 seconds and not understand how to deliver the message. So that's a great place.
With 45 seconds worth of script in a 30-second spot. Yeah.
you only had to do 45 seconds. I was usually around a minute 15 with some of the stuff I used to get. And then, of course.
Well, see, and
yeah, go ahead.
Here's the interesting thing about all that. More than anything else, what producers and production directors have to understand, because you have the director behind in your name, production director. You're the boss when it comes to that room and how you make spots. Think about this for a second. Don't be afraid to make a change as long as it's not fundamental. Don't be afraid to juxtapose a sentence or two. And I used to tell people all the time, listen, you get the script from the script writers. If you don't like it, let me look at it before you throw it in the trash. Because you could dump one sentence and all of a sudden you've got a good spot. Or you could juxtapose That's moving from one place to another. Move one, flip them around. Now, wait a minute. Now the spot works. Because, you know, and Mark, you've written a million commercials, and you know that sometimes it looks good on paper, but when you open your mouth, all of a sudden it didn't work. And so you got to figure out how to do that. So
lays like a boulder.
Yeah. So as a production director, you've got to be able to understand, make that call and go, you know what, I'm going to change this word and that word. And that gets me to where now the spot flows for me. And then you add all the rest of your stuff in it. But yeah, don't be afraid to make those decisions.
That's a great piece of advice, by the way. I didn't think we were going to go off in that area, but I'm glad you did, because that's right. Your title is production director. And that means you've got some say in what's going on. And I'm just going to piggyback very quickly, because we're going to discuss this in another segment about how you have to teach your salespeople, who are the ones who are promising the world, who don't have any concept of production value, of how a spot works, of how it's going to work. And they are absolutely needing your director ability to sometimes tell them, hey, this isn't going to work. I'm changing it. And if it's not going to work for you, I'm sorry. You're going to have to trust me. So great, great point, Vaughn. And I think that's where we're going to tie things in a nice little bow for this particular segment. Again, you know, there's a hundred.
Let me say one thing though, Mark. Let me say one thing. You're going to have to trust me. Trust also comes with time. And the more you shine, the more you make that salesperson's spot just stand up on its own 2 feet, the more they're going to trust you.
Oh yeah,
to make that.
And you know what? You know why else they're going to trust you? They're going to trust you because the renewals are going to come in, and that's the magic potion.
Best award ever.
Yeah, that's the magic potion. So that when you get clients who are coming back going, "Wow, we really did well with that spot you guys did," that's when the salespeople look to you, and go, "Hey, can you do it again?" So, you know, it works both ways.
I've had salespeople walk in and say, oh, that client he loved the spot so much, he just committed another $30,000 annually.
Yep.
I'm going, yeah, this works. Now we're cooking.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. It really is. To me, that's more important than anything I can hang on my wall.
Well, it's also.
If I brought more money into the radio station, all of a sudden I'm worth something.
It's also my pet peeve is that nobody in radio looks at the equation quite that way, that production can actually be the revenue generator that drives the little engine. They look at us as a cost. And we're not going to get into that right now. We'll talk about that maybe at another time.
We will.
At any rate, I want to just sum up really quick. It's been amazing listening to you. And it's always great when we have these conversations over a beer or two. But now it's even better that we're having it so that people in the business who are kind of, you know, looking for ways to stand out, here's another piece of the puzzle that you can use. And that's what's going to happen with, you know, with this particular information. So, you know, kick the tires, try it a little bit, see what you can do. And that's going to be one of the things that is going to be most effective in not only advancing your education, but advancing your career as well. And what Vaughn just talked about, in gaining the trust of your sales staff and showing them, yeah, you are quite valuable. I need your help. So Vaughn, great as always. It's always great to hook up. We are going to do this again, except the next time, Vaughn, we're going to talk about the first 6 seconds of the radio ad. Why is it so damned important? Well, we're going to talk about that the next time we get together.
Thank you, sir.
Well, once again, Vaughn Kaufman, you can reach him at Vaughn, that's V-O-N. Kaufman is, well, he spells it weird, but it's okay. C-O-F-F-M-A-N, VaughnKaufman.com. He is a great resource. You can also reach out to us if you like what we're doing, you want more information, or you just want to talk about stuff that's happening in your world. You can reach us via email at Benmar, B-E-N-M-A-R, 1987 at AOL.com. No cracks about the email address. Yes, I'm a dinosaur. For Vaughn Kaufman, I'm Mark Margulies. Thank you so much for listening. We'll chat with you next time. Thanks again.